Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And gonna start off with some questions that came up over the past couple of weeks that I've collected, and also talk about some stuff I've been trying to catch up on. And I think that's about it. So, first up, I've been trying to get caught up on the Wildstorm. I'm still not all caught up, but this is the Warren Ellis book, and I am really enjoying it. It's kind of slow paced. It's a lot of intrigue. It's essentially like three organizations conflicting with one another: IO, Stormwatch, and the Weathermen, and I forget what the other one is. Tree Lane is part of the organization, and she's recruited Michael Cray. And it's like a war between the organizations. One controls Earth, one controls space, one is in the middle, and they're all sort of fighting one another, and it sort of starts with the engineer stealing a technology from one of the organizations and causing a conflict, which looks like it's going to lead to war between the organization that controls space and the organization that controls the Earth, or yeah, pretty much the land on Earth. And then there's the organization, which is pretty much the Wildcats, that's in caught in between. So, and then there's aliens and all kinds of other side stuff going on. There's the Michael Cray book, and that one spins off of Wildstorm and the fact that he's dying and he's recruited by another organization, and they give him health, they give him a doctor, they give him a team. And it's weird because this is almost like it's Earth W for Wildstorm. But I don't know, because it's like alternate versions of Ollie Queen and Barry Allen. So that's an interesting book, really well done. I mean, and a good companion book for the main book. So I'm all caught up on the Wildstorm, and I'm working my way on Wildstorm Michael Cray, and I think they've introduced the bulk of everybody except for like Gen 13. So up to the point where I'm at, which is on issue 10 or 11, they've introduced, they're not all together like you would see Wildcats, 'cause Zealot and Voodoo, and a couple of them are off doing other things. I always forget the guy with bare feet that talks to cities. But he's even in it. So you got several members of the Authority and the Wildcats and other stuff like Deathblow and all the other crazy characters from Team 13. Or is it Team? I can't remember what team it is. I'll look it up right now. I think it's not Gen 13. It's Team 7. So Team 7 was Backlash, Deathblow, Grifter, Wetworks. There's a few Wetworks, I think. Lynch. Those are. That was an Image comic from 1994 to 1995. There was another Team 7 book that came up in the New 52. I think it was the New 52, from 2012 to 2013. And that was very different. That one had a lot of DC characters mixed with Wildstorm characters, including Diana Lance, or Diana Drake at the time, and Kurt Lance, her husband. It also had Slade Wilson, Alex Fairchild, James Bronson, and Amanda Waller. Started off with Lynch too. So there's a lot of Wildstorm books. That Gen 13 is a book that I jumped on late. Like I don't even think. Like, if I look it up now, I don't. It's something I need to complete at some point in time. That's weird that Gen 3. Oh, it's all one word. That's why I couldn't find it in my database. Gen 13. So, I do have number one, but I must have picked it up later because I remember skipping it. Let's see if I have number two. Yep, two, three, four, five, all the way through 11 straight. I'm missing issue 10, and then I didn't jump on until the very end around issue 32. So I have a chunk of Gen 13 issues that I'm missing. If we look at Wildstorm, actually, it would be Wildcats. That's what kicked it off. Oh, there's a Fleetway comic called Wildcat. Had no idea. Fleetway quality, that's the 2001 AD stuff. Didn't even know that existed. So with Wildcats, I stayed the course until issue 27 and then dropped off pretty much for the till the end on that series. And then volume 2, I skipped entirely, which was Joe Casey, Scott Lobdell, with artists by Travis Charest. And I think that was before DC. And then Volume 4 was a weird volume. Wildcats. They kicked it off with one issue, and then it went. I don't know what the hell happened, but it was Grant Morrison and Jim Lee. And it was just one issue. So this is when they tried to relaunch all the titles. But then this one went away. I wonder what the story is, why that didn't ever kick off. And then there's Wildcats Volume 5, which was Christos Gage. And I have most of that one, if not all of it. I think I'm missing issue 2 and 3, which is a weird thing to be missing. And then I have, I think they're in the uninventoried box upstairs, but I'd have to go verify that to see if I have that. So at some point, like I got all of Savage Dragon. I gotta work on Wildcats. That'll probably happen before Gen 13. Wetworks is another one that came out of that, but that was Wiles Pistachio, and that was very sporadic. He was the one guy that just didn't produce much. And on that one, man, let's see what version this is. This can't be right. I don't have any Wetworks. That is bizarre. But like, he didn't even do his own book. He did like up to issue 8 and then left that book. So Wetworks is another one I have to fill at some point in time. I think it's the second volume that I, yeah, the second volume I got, which was when Jim Lee's company was acquired by DC Comics. So, yeah, in order to complete, there's a lot of Wildstorm books that I need to complete. And before I do that, I think I'd want to finish Spawn, which would be hard because those books are a little more expensive. But, I think I have all of Shadowhawk. That was the Shadow Line stuff. The Youngblood and the Extreme Studio stuff. I think I'm like, if I don't have everything, I'm close to having everything that was launched initially. That was Youngblood related, Youngblood Strike Files, Newman, all the stuff that he launched. All the Eric Larson stuff I think I have in hand. And McFarlane. I dropped off, but I didn't drop off for long, so I'm missing some stuff in the hundreds, I think. But a good chunk, like 111 to 150 or something weird like that. And at some point I would just like to complete my, I think Authority I caught up on. I think I just finished like Stormwatch. I believe I finished the Authority. Yeah, I have a full run of that. The Authority Volume 2, I don't have a full run of. And that's the Robbie Morrison and Duane Turner stuff. So I'd still have to get that. Volume 4, I started it, and that was Grant Morrison around the same time that he launched Wildcats. And I don't know what happened to Wildcats. Let's see if there's a volume 5, and I have the whole run of that, and that was Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning and Christos Gage. There's a lot of volumes of Authority, and then there's a lot I'm missing. And then there's like a mini series like The Authority, The Human on the Inside, The Authority Kev, The Authority Lobo Jingle Hell, I don't have. The Authority Lobo Spring Break Massacre, don't have. The Authority More Kev, don't have that either. The Authority Prime, I do have. Authority Revolution, I do not have. That was Ed Brubaker, believe it or not. The Authority Scorched Earth, that's a one shot. I don't have that. The Authority, The Magnificent Kevin. So there's like three in this Kevin series by, I think it's Garth Ennis that wrote that. I don't have any of them. So, got a lot of work on the Wildstorm. So, maybe lately I've been concentrating on Marvel, believe it or not, because I'm on a Marvel kick. What I end up doing is reading something on Marvel Unlimited in the middle of the night, finding out I don't have it, or I've never read it in some cases, and then wanting it to be in my collection. So even though I've already read it, I go to mycomicshop.com, place an order, it arrives, and I file it because I've already read it. So it's like a completion thing. I wish I wasn't like that, man. It's just a compulsion. So off to the questions. Enough of that rambling. Gotta bring up the right file. So Rosh Mushad, I think that's how you pronounce it. He says, being a mood reader, what's your mood? What triggers your mood? Do they mostly come from something you've read, like other comics, or heard about on pods and radios, or saw in TV movies? Sometimes. The first one, I don't think another comic drives it. Like, if I saw a character and I read an issue of Justice League and it had Black Lightning, it doesn't necessarily cause me to go read Black Lightning. That one's very seldom. I usually like to differ. Like, so if I'm reading a team book, I like to go to a solo book or a non-superhero book, or I like to vary things up a little bit. And there's no telling what I'm in the mood for. My mood swings like nobody's business. I can't believe how much it swings. Sometimes I wish, I'm kind of jealous of the people that can stay on target. You know, they stay on target, stay on target, and finish a series. 'Cause I don't want, I want, I get distracted, and it's like a squirrel, you know, and I go down the rabbit hole, and I don't know what causes it. It just like, ooh, I feel sometimes it could be pod driven. But the pods I listen to don't usually drive me to something. At least very seldom they do. 'Cause I don't listen to old stuff, and I've been in an old retro mood lately. That's what's taking up most of my comic reading now. Along with novels, with the Hard Case Crime, because I went down that rabbit hole, and that led me to buy two novels. I have a Joyland, which is a Hard Case Crime book from Stephen King, and I'm about, I don't know, 60 pages in, and that has been really, really good. I'm surprised how much I like it. And after I started reading that, then Query came in, the very first one, And I watched the TV show, and I was just I absolutely loved Query. It's an amazing TV show. Loved it so much. And then now I have a novel, and I bought the first one. I said, why not start at the beginning, even though I might be seeing something I've seen in the TV show, or revisiting something that came in the Queries War. Not sure. Because there's only been one Query comic book right now, and that's Queries War, and I think it's the latest one after all the novels. I think that's what the way it's portrayed. So I don't know what causes me to be in a certain mood. I have no idea. TV and movies. Very seldom do they drive. Like, I don't go see, like, Guardians of the Galaxy or Justice League and then go want to read a Justice League book. Sometimes a movie will drive me to read more. Like, before Thor Ragnarok came out, I started reading a lot of Thor issues that I have never read before. DeFalco, especially, and Friends, because, man, that's my favorite era of Thor. Even over Simonson, which is unheard of, but that's my Thor era that I'm so into, and it's a long run by those two. Good question. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Pods and radio, or not really radio, but podcasts used to trigger. My stuff. I used to listen to Comic Book Noise, and he'd say he used to love like Maze Agency and John Sable, and he'd talk about Thriller from DC Comics, and it caused me to go buy those issues and then read them right away. But I have to say, since that podcast stopped like talking about like older issues, I haven't really been driven by podcast anymore. Sometimes I'm driven by controversy just to see, like, I'll listen and somebody shits on something, and then I read it and I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? It's not bad. But other than that, I don't think podcasts like drive my reading. Sometimes whatever's in front drives my reading, or if I'm cleaning something and I run across something I want to read. Sometimes I'm sorting unread comics and I decide what I want to read. So yeah, there's a lot of weird things. Sometimes I read for Gotham by Geeks, which has to be Batman related or Bat Family related. So it drives me in that era. And Geek Brunch, we kind of pre-coordinate a few issues there. So that kind of drives me in a fixed area. And then Retro is so open, I can pick anything that's 10 years or older. So there's thousands upon thousands of books I can choose from. Man, that's a good question. I should start tracking that, or at least try to figure out how to track it, like what's triggering my mood. If you listen to this show, you could probably see my mood. It seems like I was in a DC mode for a long time, and then I just left it. Bill Bear asks, what books are you looking forward to the most in 2018? I guess more hard case crime. I guess that's what I'd have to go for. More Titan comics that are in that hard case crime era. The other thing, I think that Milestone is releasing an imprint again under DC in 2018. And I think if that does happen, I'm looking forward to a Milestone relaunch. And I hope it's like in the vein of, it's not like a reimagining, like when Marvel reimagined CrossGen. The only one that was close was Roos. Everything else was like a brand new reiteration, and I don't know why they went in there. I hope that this relaunch means that it's sticking close to what they've already produced as far as origins, and they don't revamp them. But who knows? Aaron Bell says, "Have you kept up or started the Catalyst Prime books from Lionforge?" The answer is no. The only one I think I've read so far is the Free Comic Book Day, although I'm all in. That just goes to show how weird I am. I'm buying all of them, but I haven't read any of them yet. I have read things in that imprint from Lionforge that are outside of the Catalyst Prime, like Jazz Maynard and Ghost. What is that one called? Ghost Money. So, yeah. Drew asks, "Are there any 2018 resolutions?" I can never stick to resolutions, man. But if I could stick to some resolutions, I'd like to reduce my comic book intake because, shit, man, I'd have to live like three lifetimes, I think, to read all the material I have, at the pace I'm going now. So, really, if my compulsion is like in a bad though, like I can't break it. I wish I could. I wish I could like just say I'm not gonna buy Marvel anymore unless it's like Daredevil, Cap, Thor, like some of the key heroes I want to collect, and then just go to digital, which is Marvel Unlimited, because that's like $5.99 a month, and I've been reading that more than anything anyway. So it would make sense, and some of that could bleed over into like Image and IDW and other things that are provided digitally. Like if somebody says, "Go read this," I'll instead of having the physical copy on hand and digging it out of a box to go read it, I could say, "Oh, I'll just download this book and then save some space and maybe grow some areas where I want to complete runs of other back issues." I don't know. That would be a cool resolution, but I won't stick with it. I'll tell you right now, I'll probably be getting the same books that I've been getting, and I won't decrease, even though I want to. My mind says yes, but then my mind says no, and then I end up doing the same thing. I would like to finish the Clone Saga as far as I'm a little more than halfway through the omnibus on Volume 1. I would like to finish Volume 1 as part of my resolution. What else would I like to do? Oh, the other resolution I'd like to do, and I think I'm going to meet it very close, is complete Volume 1 of Daredevil, which would give me a complete run of Daredevil since it started as its own title. So then I have every volume after that as well that's called Daredevil. I'd have a complete collection. So I think I'm about less than 20 away from completing that. And I think in 2018, I'd like to do that and just say, "Hey, that is complete." So that's all the questions, and I'll jump into the books for that week. So the books for February 13th, 2017 to February 19th, 2017 are there was a total of 30 books. One Valiant, two Marvel, three Image, and 24 DC. You could see around this time I was still keeping sort of caught up with what DC was doing. That week there were 3 out of 5s, 4 out of 5s, and 5 out of 5s. There were no 2 out of 5s or 1 out of 5. So starting with the 3 out of 5s, we had Justice League number 15. This was versus the Timeless, and there were time anomalies, and had a glimpse of Brainiac 5 from the Legion of Superheroes. We had Shade the Changing Girl number 5. It was a very strange issue. They're always all strange. As Shade tries to return home but fails in her meta vest, you know, the planet that she's from, or he's from. He's in the girl's body. We have Lost Boys number 5. This was the focus on the villains of the story. It's been a pretty good series, but it started off much stronger, I think, than what it finished off as. We have He-Man, Thundercats number 5. This was Skeletor and Mumra merged as heroes to try and protect Castle Grayskull. This one I still think I need to finish. We have Raven number 6, which is Raven saves the town with the help of the remaining people, including her aunt. It's a resolution of the white entity is still open. In other words, they haven't figured out what that white entity is. Checkmate Volume 2. This is the Greg Rucka Checkmate. This was Alan Scott and Amanda attacked by Cobra, and the team is working to try and save Checkmate, even though they wanted the politically they want to disband Checkmate. We have Stormwatch Volume 1, 3 through 5. This is around the time that I completed Stormwatch. And we have Stormwatch versus Regent in a nuclear reactor. And Backlash tries to rescue Diane, but after possessed by a Daemonite, she is in a coma, and several scientist members and Wargard are killed. We have Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures number 4. This is Joker took over the hand and released Chaos. Shredder back in business versus Scarecrow, and Mad Hatter shows up at the end. And this was based on the cartoon one, The Adventures. We have Aquaman number 17. This is the UN briefings, and he is a hero and attacked by Warhead, a new villain. We have Trinity number 6. It's Escape from Black Mercy with the help of White Mercy. We have Gotham Academy number 6. This is weird because some of them were really high ranked, and I guess this one wasn't. The team's still trying to save Colton from being expelled, and they're looking for the Book of Gotham. We have Mother Panic number 3. This one crawled up to the fives for me towards the end, and I think it could be because of the way I experienced it, which was reading it all at once. We have and that Mother Panic it has a run-in with Batwoman and goes after Gala. Gala captures children for art. And I think it was the second arc that really got me invested in that series. We have X-Men number 6, Volume 1. This was one of the Marvels, and it's the first submariner as a mutant recruited by Magneto and Professor X. Magneto shows a power I have never seen before, to leave his body and go into the astral plane. The letters page shows love for Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and demands them to be heroes, which is very interesting because they became Avengers very soon after. We have Green Lanterns number 17. Baz gives up gun. The fight together to take down the Scarecrow, Baz and Jessica, and Baz comes through with his willpower. We have Ever After number 6. It's a story of a magician who was betrayed by the organization and will die. So starting with X-Men 6 were 4 out of 5s, which means I really enjoyed it. Cave Carson and the Cybernetic Eye. Cave and crew are invaded by villains with his wife's mom and dad when they are attacked. And if you remember, his wife, it turns out to be underground, a dweller, alien type, but from the center Earth. And obviously her parents are from there too. We have Superman number 17. Jonathan and Kathy go looking for her grandpa. This actually wraps up in a kind of a weird, strange mess in the future. So, way in the future. So, when we're in issue 30s and some. So, you could tell this storyline's been going very long, but it's go look for grandpa and Bessie in the marsh. The gases make them hallucinate. Rescued by grandpa and a mysterious figure in background watches. This actually ties in. You figure out who that mysterious character is, and you won't believe what it ends up tying into, but let's just say Justice League Elite. Yeah, if those of you who know what that is, there's a character in that book that's prominent in Superman for a few issues. We have Batwoman Rebirth number one. This is it summarizes Rucka's run on Batwoman to catch the reader up and has Epting art, so it's just like a recap, which is very different from some of the rebirths. They had different strategies in all the rebirths as they launched the rebirth. They had number one come out, and then the ongoing started with number one. And this one's just trying to get you up to speed, saying, "Hey, Batwoman's not broken, so we're gonna regurgitate what you already know about Batwoman." We have Green Arrow number 17. Ollie prepares for battle with Merlin, and Merlin is rescued by Diggle. We have Savage number 4. It's a Valiant. Fights with his mother's killers and goes through a transport device to current times. That was the finale of that series. And one of the big things that I don't like about Valiant is Savage got me real excited and pumped for this series, and we're still waiting for the second volume. And by the time the second volume comes, I'll have forgotten a lot of it. So, Valiant tends to do that with a lot of their properties. The only ones that are really consistent are Ninjak, Bloodshot, and XO for the most part. All the other ones just drop off, come back, drop off, and come back. I think they lose momentum. I think it's a mistake. At least for the. It might be good for the fans that want to try something new and it comes back as a number one, but it's bad for the fan that wants a continuity and wants the flow to keep the momentum to keep up on a title. Because I really enjoyed Savage. I would love to, even it was a mixture of Turok and Tarzan, in my opinion. Then we have Wildstorm number one, and this is the one that I was talking about, where Ellis begins to recreate the universe again, and I just commented that it was really well told, and they all are. We have Super Sons number one, also a 4 out of 5. Damian goes undercover at Jonathan's school to watch him and recruit him for a mission at Lex Luthor's company. That was a good issue. Yeah, Batman number 17. So I give Batman a lot of shit, but I guess I like this issue because it was a 4 out of 5. Conceptually, I didn't like that what happened in it, but it was well told. This is where Batman puts Nightwing, Red Hood, and Robin to sleep to and protects them in the Fortress of Solitude because Bane is coming after him. Bird attacks Catwoman. Trog and Bird go after the Commissioner Gordon, and Duke captured as well. So this is Bane's goons essentially going after Batman's ties. And that's why Batman sort of knocked out his kids, if you will, and put them to sleep in the Fortress of Solitude so they wouldn't be impacted by when Bane attacks. We have Harlequin number 14. This was the last 4 out of 5. The city plans on eating the homeless. Zorkrom wants to take a leader. Resurrected by ants. Harley helped. Release. I don't know what the hell I wrote there, except I remember the thing I remember about this issue is that the city, some of the people in sort of like I think it was the mayor and other people, they planned on eating the homeless, you know, to get rid of the homeless situation. It was a really unique story. Defenders 93 is a 5 out of 5, so now we're in the 5 out of 5s. And those of you who know me, know that the Defenders is probably my favorite Marvel team. Probably one of my top five teams entirely as far as superhero teams go. And this is an issue where Namor attacks London for Lady Dorma. He thinks she is back from the dead, but it is really Nebulon, the Celestial Man. Kyle goes back into a coma, and Patsy Walker is attacked. We have Nightwing number 15. Sean and Dick are dating. Dick talks to Wally, Starfire, Bruce, and Barbara about her. Sean captured or killed by a villain at the end. So you think that Sean might be dead, but you're not sure. We have Odyssey of the Amazons number 2. This was my top-rated book. Need to rescue young Amazons from the frost giants. Have to go through trolls first. Almost depleted team, and then they're rescued by Vikings. The giants are going to breed with the young women that they captured. I like that issue a lot. I remember a lot of it, except for my second comment. I remember the Amazons. They had to rescue the young Amazons from the frost giants. The second comment I had is have to go through trolls first after, before actually rescuing them. And they're almost depleted by by the Vikings, which they end up, they I think, if I remember correctly, they form a loose bond with the Vikings. And that was for the week of February 13th through February 19th. I hope you enjoyed it. The 5 out of 5s were Odyssey of the Amazons from DC Comics number 2, Nightwing number 15, which is unusual for me to give a 5 out of 5 to Nightwing based on a lot of stuff, but this one I must have really, really enjoyed. And Defenders 93, no surprise there because most of the Defenders are high ranking for me. So those are my choices. Thank you for the questions. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can leave feedback at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast or at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And the Twitter is at Mike Myers Brunch. Email is mike@comicbooknoise.com. And you could always send me questions on any of those devices, and I'll go over them on future shows, just like I collected these sets of questions. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you in another week. Talk to you later. Bye.